Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. Last Sunday, we began our current sermon series from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And there we saw that Paul commended these young Christians in Thessalonica for their labor of love, for their faithful deeds, and for their abundant hope in Christ Jesus. We also learned last week that after Paul had ministered a while in Thessalonica, he was forced, together with his fellow missionaries, to leave the city, because there were many who opposed the gospel, and they were so strong in their opposition that when they could not quiet Paul in any other way, they formed literally a mob, and they tried to grab Paul and his fellow missionaries, but they somehow, having learned of this, had already left the city. And so Paul and his fellow missionaries traveled to other cities in Greece, and they share the message of Jesus Christ. But as they're traveling, Paul says that he's becoming worried about the believers back in Thessalonica. These people who were young in the faith, Paul knew that the opposition that he had experienced in that city was opposition that they were experiencing. And Paul was not there to support them and to encourage them in their faith. And as Paul traveled and as more and more time went by, Paul became increasingly anxious that maybe they would lose their faith, that they would turn their back on the gospel because of the pressure and the persecution that they were undergoing. And so Paul tells us that finally it's like he couldn't take it any longer, and he chooses to send Timothy, one of his fellow missionaries, back to Thessalonica to see how things are going. Paul said that he wanted to go back, but he was kept from doing so. And so he sends Timothy. More time, of course, goes by, but eventually Timothy returns and reports the great news to Paul that the Christians in Thessalonica are standing firm. Timothy says their faith and their love is just as Christ would have it. And Paul says that this just gave him such tremendous joy. He had been so anxious for them, and he felt so keenly his absence from them, that this was a great encouragement that the believers in Thessalonica were still standing strong. As Paul had journeyed to these other cities, he was opposed in those places as well. And as we read in some of his other letters that he wrote to those particular churches, that he often felt discouraged. But here, receiving this great report from Timothy, he says, "I was greatly encouraged to hear that my brothers and sisters in Thessalonica were still strong in the Lord." In some sense, Paul, who sought to comfort the Thessalonians by sending Timothy, was himself comforted when he received word from them. And now it is in his letter, and we're going to look together at a passage from this letter of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, says, "I'd like to tell you what I have been praying for you." And this is what Paul says. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we begin reading in verse 9. "How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. May God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May He, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Bob Pierce was the founder of World Vision, an evangelistic Christian organization that serves people in third world countries. And literally over the years, millions of people have been helped through the ministry of World Vision. And Bob Pierce had on his office desk a plaque. And the plaque read, "Only people are forever." It was there, Bob said, to remind him every day of the ministry that he was about. He was about the ministry of people. And the Apostle Paul, I am sure, would wholeheartedly agree with Bob's sentiment. The Apostle Paul understood that not only his life, but the life of every believer was to be dedicated to people. That his greatest accomplishments, that his greatest achievements, leading to his greatest joy and his greatest comfort, was that he was able to know and to love the people that God had given him to minister to. And Paul truly believed that these people were given to him by God. People that he shared the gospel with, people that he got to know in these various cities, people who became part of the young churches that sprang up. Paul says, you aren't just people that I shared the gospel with, and you aren't just people who accepted the gospel, and then I moved on so I could talk to somebody else. No, you are people that I love. You're people that I care for. You're people that I grow anxious about when I am not there to see how you're doing. Because you're people that God has given me not only to know, but also to love. In one of his other letters, Paul talks about different kinds of worldly achievements and accomplishments. He says, you know, I, Paul, if anybody could brag about kind of their worldly success, it would be me. I was brought up in a very strong Hebrew family. I had an amazing education as a young Jew. I was able to become a member of a very established and well-respected religious group within Judaism. And in that group, I was given a lot of responsibility and even quite a bit of power. Anybody looking at me from a worldly standpoint could have said, Paul, you have it made. You have done really, really well in your life. But then Paul says, I met Jesus Christ. He came to me as I was traveling on the road to Damascus. And I have come to understand that I was totally mistaken. That my purpose in life is not to achieve things and to do things that are amazing and wonderful in other people's eyes, but I am to care for the people, I am to preach to the people, and I am to love the people that God has given to me. That is my ministry. And so it is that Paul says so strongly in his letter that while I am so glad I can write this letter to you and that I can express my deep pleasure and joy about the report that Timothy has brought me about you, I would much rather be able to be there with you in person. He says it, if you notice in verse 10, he says it very clearly. And again, right away in verse 11, I pray that God allows me to see you again. A letter is good, but being with you would be the best. That is what Paul desires. And we do know from the book of Acts that while Paul continues this present missionary journey that he's on, several months later, maybe as much as a year, he begins a third missionary journey, and on that third journey, he is able to visit Thessalonica and spend time with those believers once again. But in the meantime, he feels the absence keenly. And I stand here in an empty sanctuary preaching to a camera. I feel your absence keenly as well today. You know, these last couple of years, COVID has really done a lot to keep us from being together as much as we would like. It has kept us from seeing one another. It has kept us from being with those that God has given us to know and to love. And I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. Hopefully, we'll be able to be together again next Sunday for those who are able to come to worship here in the sanctuary. But some of you here on live stream and other people in our congregation, we have seen very little of each other. Perhaps only sporadically, or perhaps some really not at all for quite a while now. God has given us each other to love and care for each other. And while we can be grateful for a live stream, like Paul was grateful for the opportunity to write and to mail a letter to his friends, like Paul, it is much better when we can be together. And I'm so encouraged by these words of Paul, because Paul does not kind of sit back and sulk about the situation. He doesn't sit back and kind of a woe is me, I can't be with the people that I want to be with. He doesn't even say, God, why do you want me to love and care for these people, but you're not allowing me to be with them? He prays. He prays and says, God, I'm praying that I can be with them. I'm praying that you make a way. And he prays not only for that specifically, but he also prays for the Thessalonians themselves while he is absent from them. He says in verse 10, he says that I pray earnestly for you. This is not a simple kind of bedtime prayer where he kneels next to his cot, you know, at night and says, Dear God, please bless the Thessalonians, amen, and then he goes to sleep. No, this is earnest prayer. It's intentioned prayer. He knew these people. He knew many of these people by name. He has spent time with them. And I absolutely believe that he prayed specifically and intentionally for them, probably by name. He remembered them. And in prayer, they were in his heart. And he placed them before God. And I'm sure he prayed for their safety in the midst of persecution. I'm sure he prayed that their faith would be strong. And he prayed that he could see them again. And I'm sure that he prayed personally for different people. For the mother who he knew had been pregnant. For the father who was struggling with his work. And all the other personal things he knew about those people, he would, I'm absolutely convinced, have included in his prayer. I was earnest. I am earnest in my prayer for you, he says. And then he also says here in verse 10, he says, night and day I pray for you. This isn't just kind of a sporadic every now and then, because they are on his mind. He's thinking about them. He's aware of them. And he knows that these are people to whom he has been called to minister. And so he prays regularly for them, in an ongoing way. And then, as I said, of course, he also prays specifically that he can be with them again. And so it is that you and I, who are separated from one another, whether it's for a short period of time or for some longer periods of time, we can follow Paul's example, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we can pray, and we need to pray for one another. We need to do so. We need to do so earnestly, and we need to do so regularly. And we can also pray specifically that God would soon bring us back together again as a full family of faith. Last month, we were able to celebrate Christmas Eve worship here together in the sanctuary, and there were a lot of people here. And one of the things that really blessed me about those two services that we had together was seeing some people that I had not seen in church for a long time. And it wasn't about just seeing them in church, it was that we were together in church. That we could look at each other and see each other and smile at each other and give each other a hug and say, hey friend, I've missed seeing you. It's good to be together. We have a Wednesday morning men's Bible study here at the church, and one of the men in our study early last fall was diagnosed with a very serious, potentially life-threatening illness. And for many months, he was absent from our men's study, but he was not absent from our hearts and our thoughts. And people in the study called him and emailed him and kind of learned how he was doing and how things were progressing. On Wednesday morning, when we met, we always prayed for him, and people who might have some information about how he was doing would share that with the rest of us. Because we missed him. He was one of us. We know him and we love him. And we felt his absence keenly. But then on Wednesday, just this past week, he walked in the door of Fellowship Hall for the first time in quite a few months. And the whole group just broke into spontaneous applause. We were so happy to see him. We knew that he was doing well. We knew that he'd probably soon be back again. But to actually have him there with us was better than anything else that we could experience in our relationship with him. And so it is with one another. God has given us to each other. We are a family of faith. And while we're glad for opportunities to be able to be in touch with each other at a distance in various ways, it is important for us, to the extent that we can, to the extent that we're able, and when we're kept from each other in prayerful a petition to God, that we are able soon to be back together again. Like Paul, we pray regularly for each other. We pray earnestly for each other. And we pray and ask God to bring us back together again as an entire family of faith. And may it be soon. Will you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this letter of Paul that we are taking some time in. Thank you, Father, for the way in which he expresses his care and his concern for his friends in Thessalonica, the joy that he experienced and the encouragement that he has from their faith. But all that happens because that he's been able to learn about them and to know that they're doing well. And he's so pleased to be able to write this letter to them, but as he says himself, he'd much rather be with them. And that's what he's praying for. That's what he's hoping for. And we know that that's a prayer that you eventually answered for him and allowed him to experience. And so it is, Lord, that we also recognize, as Paul did, what is most important. What is most important is being able to be together in whatever form that takes. And some of us, for different reasons, are kept from being able to be together, even much beyond just what is happening here on Sunday morning. Hopefully, we will be together again next week. But Father, for the larger family of who we are in Christ, some of us have not seen each other for a long time. And I pray that we would be on each other's hearts, that we would be prayerful for one another, that we would be earnest and lifting up those particular things that we might be aware of. That, Father, while distant from one another and while apart for a time, we can still be the family who cares and prays for one another. And again, earnestly we pray that the day would come soon that we could be together unhindered. Thank you, Father, for your love and your blessing of us as a church. Thank you that this day did not catch you unaware. And Father, thank you for guiding us as a congregation as we navigate some of these difficult issues and decisions that we need to make as a church in relationship to COVID and other issues. But in all of it, Lord, even in the frustration and the difficulty, you are God. You are a heavenly Father. You've given us to one another, and we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.